All right, take your Bible with me this morning, and I'm going to be in the book of Ruth this morning, and chapter number 2, and just want to read a few verses, give you just a simple thought, and then I'll be out of the way. I appreciate the opportunity to preach and be a part of this meeting. It's been good, hasn't it? Man, everything has been great. I appreciate Brother Jones. Man, tremendous preaching, always an encouragement, always a blessing, and looking forward to the remainder of the day and the meeting. Still got another day after today. It's been so good and so full, but we're going to make room for some more. Amen. And looking forward to a great day. All right, Ruth chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 10. Ruth chapter 2 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "Then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" I'm interested in Boaz's answer here in verse 11. Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Chapter 2 of the book of Ruth introduces us to this character by the name of Boaz. And I think you would agree with me when we say that everything in the book of Ruth seems to hinge on this one character. He is the hinge on which the door of providence is swinging in the book of Ruth. And I can't help, and I know you already are aware of this, but we cannot help when we look at Boaz to think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because did not everything change in our life and everything changed in our story when Boaz came on the scene? He is the existing one, isn't he? He's always been there. I love how the chapter starts out. It says, "And Naomi had a kinsman." I like that because at the end of chapter number 1, when Naomi comes back into Bethlehem, Naomi looks around at everybody and she says, "I went out full, but I came home empty." She says, "I don't have anything. I don't have anything at all. I'm absolutely depleted of anything and everything that is good and precious in my life. I'm absolutely empty." And that was Naomi's assessment. That was Naomi's inventory that she was taking there. But I'm glad the Holy Spirit steps in, the scripture step in, the narrator steps in, the divine narrator, and he says, "No, Naomi wasn't empty. Naomi had something." I underline those first three words in my Bible, "and Naomi had," right there. I'm glad when you think you're empty, listen, if you got Jesus, you got something. Amen. It's not something we got, it's a somebody we have. And in Boaz, Naomi found everything that she needed for her life and for blessing in her life. He is the existing one. He was there. She just didn't know he was there. And I'm glad for Jesus. He's always been there. But I'm glad for the day I bumped into him. Amen. I'm glad for the day the Lord let me realize who he is and that he was always there. He is the existing one. He is the exchanging one. You see a definite exchange that takes place in the book of Ruth before Boaz and after Boaz. You can look at Naomi before Boaz, and you can read the end of the book, and you can see Naomi after Boaz. By the way, she was a lot better off after Boaz than she was before Boaz. And can I tell you, that's exactly how we are. We are a lot better off after we've met the Lord Jesus Christ than we are. Aren't you glad that He is the exchanging one? He has absolutely changed everything in my life. He's changed everything in your life. He took Naomi's emptiness and He gave her fullness. He took her brokenness and He gave her restoration. He took her hopelessness and gave her hope, and took her bitterness and gave her joy, and took her affliction and gave her healing. Think about where you were before you met the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad He changed everything. Amen. Thank God for that. He's the existing one in the book of Ruth. He's the exchanging one in the book of Ruth. He is the extending one in the book of Ruth, because He's the one that extends grace in the field. He approaches Ruth and even sends provision home with her with direct counsel, direct command to give to her mother-in-law. He not only had Ruth in mind when He gave those gleanings to her, but had her mother-in-law in mind as well. He's extending grace to everybody in this family, and I'm thankful for the grace that He has extended to us. But I want you to notice this that I see here. What I'm interested in this morning, just for a minute, is that He is the explaining one.
Yeah.
I'm interested in what Boaz has to say about God. I'm interested in his theology. I'm interested in Boaz's the way that he views God and what he knows about God. In fact, the very first words we have recorded from Boaz in the book of Ruth, the very first thing, it's in verse 4 of chapter 2, the very first thing he says is the Lord. That's what he starts talking about immediately. He brings us to God. Boaz points us to God. He shows us God. He explains God. And of course, for Ruth, who did not grow up in Bethlehem and does not know very well the truth, she trusts Him, but she does not know God. And Boaz is the one that comes and points Ruth to God and explains God to her and teaches her exactly who God is. And by the way, isn't that yet another picture of the Lord Jesus Christ? The only reason we know anything about God at all is because of Jesus. He is the one that points us to the Father. He is the one who explains God to us. He is the one who reveals God to us. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thomas asked Jesus, said, you know, show us the Father and that'll suffice us. And Jesus said, have I not been so long with you, Thomas? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is the one who shows us God. The only way to know the Father is you got to listen to Jesus. You got to look at Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God. He is that Word of God, the express image of God. And if you want to know the Father, well, you got to listen to the Redeemer.
Amen.
You got to listen to Christ. I'm interested in the God of Boaz. That's what I want to look at just for a second. I'm intrigued by what Boaz believes about God. It's amazing to me that in these days in which the judges are ruling, in the days which are dark days, and every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes, there's a man that knows God and loves God and believes God and honors God and is living for God even in dark days. By the way, can I say this? That it don't matter how dark the day is, and no matter how dark the society is that you're living in, you can know God and you can live for God and you can love God and you can honor God with your life. I believe that with all my heart. You can live for God in dark days. Well, just very, very simple, just a few things before I sit down. What do we learn about God from Boaz? What does Boaz teach us about God? Let me give you a few things. Number one, we learn about God from Boaz that, first of all, God regards the struggling. He regards those that are struggling. In verse number 11, Boaz begins to recount everything that has gone on in the life of Ruth. He said, it's been fully showed me, in verse number 11, all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. Boaz says, I know everything that you've gone through. I know everything that you've been through. I see all the struggles, all the heartaches and the heartbreaks that you've had along the way. And I tell you, it's good when somebody can relate to us in our struggles. It's good when somebody says, hey, I know where you're at, and I know what you've been through. A lot of people, they go through life feeling like they are unseen, or they are unheard, or they are uncared for, and nobody knows about their life, and nobody cares about their situation, and nobody really understands and can relate to where they are and what they're going through. And it feels good, doesn't it, when somebody sits down next to you and somebody says, I see you, I hear you, I know what's going on in your life. What a wonderful comfort that is, no doubt. In fact, that's how Ruth interpreted his words in verse number 13. Says, thou hast comforted me. She feels a comfort in these things. But I think it goes beyond just Boaz knowing what's going on in the life of Ruth, because he says, I know what you've gone through, and I know what you've been through. But in verse number 12, he lifts her eyes beyond the field and beyond even himself, and he says, the Lord recompense thy work. What he's pointing her to is saying, Ruth, not only do I know what you're going through, and I know where you're at, and I know where you've been, but there is a God in heaven that knows where you're at, and he knows what you're going through, and he knows all that you've done. And I just want to say, I know this is simple, but man, I'm excited this morning to tell you that there is a God in heaven that knows where you're at. He regards those that are struggling. Listen, you're not alone. You're not all by yourself. You are not left to go through this life and make it through a life on your own. I'm glad that there is a God in heaven who sits high, and he is a holy God, and he is a just God, and no doubt he is a God that has a lot of things going on, but I'm glad he is not too busy to take notice of my life. Does he care? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares, and I'm glad that we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He cares about where you're at. And if the facade could be lifted, and if the fronts could be removed today, you would find a lot of people struggling with a lot of different things. And in your mind, you might think this morning, nobody cares and nobody understands. But I'm here to tell you that the Lord knows. And you might be able to sit down and tell your story and express your situation to somebody, and that might make you feel better for just a moment. But the burdens will come back, and the heaviness will reappear in your life. But listen, there is a throne room of grace that you can go to. There is the feet of the Master that you can lay your burdens down at, and I'm thankful for the times that he has put his arms around me and he said, son, I know what you are going through. Amen. Old song says, Jesus knows all about my struggles. Yes. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. And there's a familiar theme through the Psalms that you'll find of God caring for the poor and caring for the needy and caring for those that have been forgotten. And always God takes care of them. The needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. The Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. He shall stand at the right hand of the poor. I'm telling you something, God cares for those that are struggling. Boaz was letting her know that her situation was not unknown to God. Amen. That the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, he was unlike any God that she had ever heard of in Moab. Who could not care less about her plight and could not care less about her situation. But that was not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was not Jehovah God. He is a God that regards those that are struggling. Boaz is teaching her about God. And he says that Boaz is a God that regards the struggling. But secondly, I would point out that not only is he a God that regards the struggling, but Boaz teaches us that he is a God who rewards his servants. He says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. He is a God who rewards His servants. That just simply means that God will be a debtor to no man. There is nobody that has ever done anything. There is nobody that has ever left anything, sacrificed anything, gave up anything, committed to Him and His work and His service that will ever go without. The preacher said it well on yesterday morning, that he's never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Listen, God will take care of those that commits their life to Him. Listen, Boaz was telling Ruth that God has seen you. He knows all about your struggles. He knows about your situation, but He also knows about the commitment that you have made to help your mother-in-law, the commitment that you have made to dedicate your life to the Lord God. It wasn't just a commitment to Naomi. It was a commitment to the God of Naomi. And God watched Ruth as she got up early in the morning, and as she went to the field, and as she was doing what she could to provide for those that God had put in her care. And He said, listen, God will reward you. God will recompense you. That word recompense, it means it's like compensate, to pay back. Listen, God will be a day. Can I tell you something about this thing about serving God? Listen, it does not cost to serve God. It pays to serve God. It is the best life that you will ever live. It is the best existence. Listen, the devil will come by and he'll tell you, if you sell out to God and if you surrender to God and if you serve God with your life, then it'll be miserable and you'll be doing without and you'll have nothing left. But I'm here to tell you, the devil, he's a liar. Liar. Pants on fire, nose as long as a telephone wire. Amen. Listen, he is a liar. Listen, God takes care of those that serve Him with their life. Man, I tell you what, man, man, what a liar he is. Man, I just knew by now I'd be on the side of a road with a sign somewhere that said, we'll preach for food. Amen. I told my kids, I said, we're going into evangelism. They said, what does that mean? I said, it means we're going to be living in a cardboard box on the side of the road. We're in Alabama. It's about the same thing, I guess. I don't know. I told man, I didn't have much faith. I'm going to be honest. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Amen. I'm going to tell you what I didn't have. But I'm going to tell you something. I know I hadn't been long in this thing. But can I tell you right now, all my bills are paid. Right now, I got a house full of groceries. There's a roof over my head. Listen, I got clothes to wear. I've been gaining weight every day. Can I tell you something, friend? God takes care of those that serve Him and sell out to Him. It's the best life you'll ever live. Listen, God hasn't forgot about you. He is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Listen, there's nobody that's left houses and lands and mother and father and fields and all these things that you'll not receive 100-fold in this life. Listen, God is a God who rewards those. Serve Him. Don't mean you'll be living in a mansion and driving a BMW, but it means God will take care of you. He'll give you, here's what he said. He said he'll give you a full reward. You know what that means? That means he's not going to short you one penny. That means he will. And by the way, I tell you what I found. I found God's given me much more than I deserve. Amen. He's already given me much more than I deserve. Isn't it amazing that He calls you to serve Him? He equips you to serve Him. He gives you a place to serve Him. And then He pays you for serving Him. I don't understand it, but man, I like it. Amen. I like it a lot. Amen. Paul said, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. Well, I can understand that. But he said this, he went on to say, and not to me only, but also all them that love His appearing. Man, what a God we have. He regards the struggling. He rewards the servant. And then I would say lastly that at the end of verse number 12, he says, under whose wings? Yeah, thou art come to trust.
Yeah.
I would say that he receives the stranger.
Amen.
Those that are foreigners, those that are on the outside, those that are far away. Can I get a witness in here this morning of anybody who knows what it's like to be far away? And aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers. I mean distant. Unworthy. How many of you know what it's like to get under his wings? He said, under whose wings? You know what Boaz saw when he saw Ruth? He saw somebody who had come under the wings of the God. He said, under whose wings thou art come to trust? By the way, that's all it takes to get under his wings. It don't matter who you are. It don't matter where you're from. It does not matter what your past is. Listen, if you have faith, that's all it takes right there. It is faith. That is the thing that God is looking. When God sees faith, he opens up those wings and he says, come on in. He said, I'll take you in. I'll take you under my wings. And can I tell you, I thank God for the day when I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you what he did. He opened up those wings and he said, I will take you in. I'm glad whosoever. That's been emphasized already this week, hasn't it? Listen, he's the same Lord over all, the Jew and the Greek. There's no difference. He's rich unto all that call on him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He receives the stranger. We're all just a bunch of strangers that God took in. Amen. And I'm thankful for that. The God of Boaz. Man, he had some good lessons about God, didn't he? No doubt about that. The God of Boaz. He's the God of the Bible.
Amen.
I'm really done, but I do want to leave you with this. I'm interested in, I was curious, thinking about the time frame that Boaz is living in. It's dark days. Every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes.
Yeah.
I was thinking about how in the world in these days did Boaz have such a rich theology? How did he have such a high view of God when everybody around him had such a high view of themselves and a low view of God? And I think the New Testament may hold an answer. And if you're a Bible student, you probably are already ahead of me right here. But I thought about this. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter number 1, in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, and Salmon, that's how I pronounce it, like the fish, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. You know who Boaz's mama was? Old Rahab. You think Rahab knew anything about God regarding those that are struggling? You think Rahab knew anything about God taking notice of somebody going through a hard time? Do you think Rahab knew anything about God looking down and saying, I know where you're at and I know what you're going through? You think Rahab may have bounced baby Boaz on her knee and said, let me tell you something, baby Boaz. God is somebody that knows. You'll never be going through something. You'll never be somewhere. Let me tell you, baby Boaz, I hadn't always lived here amongst God's people. There was a time I was living in Jericho, and man, I was really living a miserable existence. I didn't even want to live anymore. I was a harlot, and man, I tell you what a horrible life that it was. But I didn't even know it, but there was a God in heaven who had his eyes on me. He knew exactly what I was going through. Let me tell you something else, baby Boaz, about God. He rewards his servants. Man, I had an opportunity to serve God, and you know what? I decided I'd I decide I'd just go ahead and cast my lot in with the people of God and sell out and commit. And can I tell you something? Look around, Boaz. Everything that we have, everything that we have is because one day I decided to sell out and serve God. And God's been so good. And God's rewarded us with everything that we have. Let me tell you something else, baby Boaz. He takes in the stranger. He'll open his wings and he'll receive. Listen, I know you may wonder why I look a little bit different than everybody else. And your mama talks different than everybody else. And your mama's just a little bit different than everybody else. Let me tell you why, because I wasn't born here. I was born in a cursed city under the judgment of God. But God one day opened up his wings and he said, whosoever will, let him come. And I took my faith and I put it in the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, and he covered me with his wings, and God will save whoever will come to him by faith. I'm going to tell you where baby Boaz got his theology. It wasn't theology, it's a little bit of neology. Amen. He got it from mama, no doubt about that. I believe that with all my heart. And he grew up and he looked out in that field and he saw somebody didn't look like everybody else. And he saw somebody didn't talk like everybody else. And he saw somebody out there that just seemed like a little bit of a misfit. And he said, man, I remember what mama said. That sure does remind me of what God did for mama out there. And I think he wanted her phone number, no doubt about it. But I think he wanted to draw her close so that he might tell her a little bit more about this God that she had come to put her faith and her trust in. And I thank God for the God of Boaz. And I'm thankful this morning that he's my God. The God of Boaz is my God. And what a God we have. Amen. Let's stand together. Amen. Are you thankful that he opened up his wings and he covered you? Aren't you thankful that's our God? Amen. Amen. Maybe you just want to thank him. Maybe you just want to praise him. You just want to bow before him. That's what Ruth was doing here in this text. We looked at it the other day. She got on her face and she said, why in the world have I found this grace? But in an amazing, Boaz immediately began to point her to somebody greater than himself. So there's a God in heaven. I want to point you to him today. If you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, I want you to know that if you'll put your faith and trust in him, you'll find a God who has spread his arms open wide. He'll take you in. Listen, if you're hesitant about serving him and selling out and giving him everything, I'm here to tell you God is a God who will take care of his servants. He'll take care of you. He'll reward you. What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful God we have. No doubt about it. Amen. Brother Daniel's going to sing You Mine the Lord this morning.